Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guests are artists Wilka Roig and Graham McDougall. Graham McDougall studied at Cumbria College of Art and Design in Carlisle, England, and at Duncan of Jordanstone College of Art in Dundee, Scotland. His art encompasses printmaking and photography. He teaches printmaking and electronic imaging at Cornell University and is co-founder and an active member of The Working Relationship, an artist collective committed to promoting contemporary art and artists in the Ithaca area. Wilka Roig received an MFA in photography from Cornell University. She is a practicing artist in the fields of photography, performance, and installation, and is currently a visiting fellow in the Department of Art at Cornell University. She also serves as vice chair of Ithaca's Public Art Commission, and she is co-founder with Graham McDougall and Carrie Chalmers of the aforementioned artist collective, The Working Relationship. And welcome to you both.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Now, making a living in art in any landscape in any part of the world is really difficult. Now, did you guys make a commitment early on that you wanted to be working and practicing artists? And let's begin with you, Wilka.
Well, not really. I had no idea that I was going to be an artist. It kind of developed over time, and I realized I was making art, and I realized that I was doing something that could be a contribution. And it sort of evolved. I decided to do my MFA, and then from there started teaching and really focusing full-time on an art practice.
Well, what about you, Graham?
Yes, straight from high school, I would say that I've been working towards being an artist.
What got you interested in print? Printmaking is kind of a unique art in some ways. It's not quite as accessible. You have to really go out and learn it and get the materials.
Well, yeah, I mean, in art college, it was really accessible. Nobody seemed to want to actually print too much, and everybody wanted to be a painter. So initially, it was very accessible for me, and so I ended up working in that field, and I became more interested in ideas about copies and duplicates and multiples, and so printmaking and photography and have been a natural path for me.
And how did you get interested in photography?
I always had a passion for photography and just enjoying looking at it, to figuring out how to use a camera and making pictures and then, you know, developing them and all of that. So I think because my grandmother always had cameras, maybe that had something to do with it. But I didn't realize that I was actually thinking about concepts and creating things and doing photography. And then when that became clear to me, then I realized it was more than just a hobby, I guess.
Yeah, photography is a fascinating art. It's how to capture in a second emotion and maybe somebody's character. It's really quite a fascinating art to me, too. Now, a lot of people have a stereotype of artists as these tortured individuals in these studios by themselves. And many artists now are starting collectives. What's in it for an individual artist to work in a collective? Wilka, do you want to start?
Sure. There's something that happens between people that when you're working on your own and just dealing with your own ideas and maybe readings and thoughts and notes is very different than having a conversation or, you know, through the process of sharing ideas, get to something greater than what either person individually could bring.
So it sort of promotes creativity and different thoughts and ideas. What about for you, Graham?
Yeah, well, I mean, we have communities, you know, for those of us that have gone through art school system or university, we're constantly in dialogue with our fellow students. And when we graduate, then it can be very difficult to actually have that community. And I think actually in terms of geography, where we are in upstate New York, for Wilka and Carrie and I, we found it was quite difficult to have a conversation with people about the art that we were actually making. So that's one of the ways that we began to kind of tend to that.
And we always think that people in different arts are competing with each other or jealous of each other. Does that kind of stuff come up, or is it really a supportive atmosphere for most artists?
Well, I can't speak for all artists, but for me, in my experience, I feel that it is the sharing and the community is so much more important, and there's so much more value in that than thinking about competition. In addition to that, I think every artist has their own individual path in a way, and what they need is not what I need, and, you know, the successes that I have are not really comparable to the successes that somebody else has, and therefore we see it as, you know, what's important is the support and the community.
Yeah, I think it's easy to get competitive you know, with other people. I think when you're an artist, especially since there doesn't seem to be too many opportunities and that we're all chasing the same ones, but we were all, Kerry, Wilka and I, involved in a program with the New York Foundation for the Arts this past year. Barbara Mink was also in that program, and a lot of that program was about defining our audience and thinking about who it is that our specific artwork talks to or calls to. And so when you begin to think about your own work in those terms, things become a little less competitive, I think, because you become a little bit more focused.
Yeah, it sounds like you have a broader goal in mind,
right,
for all, and you can all fill it up. Now, tell us about the creation of the working relationship. You guys created this just a little over a year ago with Kerry Chalmers, as I said. Tell us how it evolved.
Well, you know, it started out, you know, Graham and I have had many conversations, you know, for years about, you know, what we need and what Ithaca has and what Ithaca doesn't have. And all of our friends leave town because they feel that their practice isn't supported, or they don't have the community, or there's no resources, or there's no venues, and all these different things. And Kerry and I were having similar conversations, and we were having conversations like this with other local artist friends of ours, mm-hmm, in town, like Karen Brummond and Wiley Schwartz, who's an art critic in town.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm,
so we started gathering that we were not alone in feeling this way about what could be done to make the art scene for contemporary art in Ithaca stronger. So these conversations led to trying to get together and more officially brainstorm ideas about what could be done, what is lacking, and developing, setting goals and looking at what would be the ideal situation and then what are the steps that could lead us to that.
Mm-hmm. The things do need to be organized, even if you have good ideas. Because I was thinking, we do. We have the art trail, we have the community arts partnership, which you just mentioned. So I was wondering what actually was missing? Somebody to bring, with no money, a community together, I would assume, is part of it. Graham, do you have thoughts about that too?
Well, I think that there's some younger artists in town that really aren't taking part in the venues that exist already. So we were really just trying to create an opportunity for the people that we've been talking to who maybe aren't working in the ink shop or who aren't working with the state of the art gallery.
Mm-hmm. Is it hard to get into some of these venues too? And did you want to create the working relationship to encompass more people perhaps and artists that might not have been considered by some of these groups?
I think the both venues offer a very specific idea or program, and some of the people that we were talking to were not going to fit into that program, or maybe mm-hmm, they didn't want to fit into that program. Maybe they're not necessarily interested in making prints, or maybe they're not necessarily interested in, you know, having one show every year or mm-hmm, as a solo opportunity, but they're interested in just sustaining a conversation about
mm-hmm,
work.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were also thinking about contemporary art and new practices that are just not even being represented at all in town right now with what is available.
Tell me some of those new practices,
yeah, like
you're talking
media
about.
Media and installation art and contextual, context-based art and other forms of conceptual art that are just not being represented.
You know, many artists I've known have talked about the insular, closed world of art, especially in New York, the epicenter of art traditions and the highest peak that many artists think that they can reach by being represented in galleries in New York. Is that something that could happen if you start a little art organization here, that it could become elitist and closed just like the bigger art world? Is that something you've thought about too?
Yes.
I'm just wondering how you keep it open.
Right. There's a fine line because, you know, each organization or institution that exists or could exist will have a mission. And based on that mission, they're going to be, you know, providing services or programming that supports their mission. And so, you know, sometimes I think there's some misconceptions or misunderstandings about, you know, that are classified as elitist or exclusive, when in fact it's people are working very hard to promote their particular mission, you know, support that mission, versus, of course, the other problems that are real problems with, you know,
elitism,
elitism in art. So we have those things in mind. We definitely keep that in mind.
How does the working relationship actually physically work? Do you guys have meetings? Do you have a phone tree? Do little groups get together? Do you get together as a whole? Tell me how it works.
We have a kitchen table, an email, and that's about it.
A kitchen table and an email tree.
Well, when it started out, we were meeting every week for 6 to 8 weeks, I think. I mean, and not everybody could come to every meeting, but we were inviting people to come and talk about, you know, what different ideas and different thoughts about what needed to be done. And at this stage, we have... Maybe we have official meetings twice a month, maybe, where we are really working on structure and planning and scheduling and, you know, the things that need to get done and who's going to do them, delegating. And then other than that, we're just staying in touch as things need to happen. And then, of course, we enlist other people in different ways as they can help.
And then do people throw out ideas? And then does the group have to decide whether those are going to come to fruition? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, everybody comes to the table with their own ideas, so to speak, but we're also reacting to opportunities that are coming our way as well. And opportunities, for example, like the Tillette program.
We're going to talk about that for sure.
We could kind of foresee a project like that happening, but maybe not happening so quickly. And so when that opportunity came across the table, we kind of, you know, it was an automatic yes from everybody. Everybody wanted to be involved in it and work on that.
It takes a lot of organizing to do something like that, too.
Well, yeah. Wilka and Carrie are the organizers. That's for sure.
Yeah, so we have this really long document where we keep adding every single thing that comes up at every meeting, and we have it classified in some form. And so we go back to that, and in fact, we're going to have our first annual meeting at the end of August to review everything that we have, you know, laid out, everything that we have done so far. What are the things that we're going to continue to do? What other new things are we going to consider? And so, you know, we keep adding, as things come up, if we can't address them right then, we keep adding them to this longer document, and we'll definitely go back to that at some point.
Well, what are some of the obstacles? Because this seems like such an art-friendly community to so many people, and it has seemed that way to me since I came here about 10 years ago. What are the obstacles in the way of actually people displaying their art and being able to be artists in this town? Is it money?
I think a lot of people think it's money, and in having that assumption gets in the way of whether it is really a need of money or not. You know, I think...
So maybe it has to do with will.
I think so. I mean, and that's what we believe, and that's, we just decide that we want to be doing this and that somebody's got to do it, so we go ahead and do it, and we don't have any money.
Yeah, I noticed that in some of the leaflets you gave me. It seems to me that people have to be encouraged. So in some ways, that perhaps is what the working relationship is doing best of all, encouraging people, their ideas, nurturing. What do you think? Is that a major part of it?
Yeah, I mean, when we have a show or an exhibition and people come through the door, we're always there to talk to them about the work if they want to, sometimes maybe a little bit too forcefully. I think we have an online presence with the blog for the Tillette program, I think, that can help and make us a little bit more accessible. But also... just in the last week, actually, we were in a local artist's studio looking at work that she's interested in showing in Tillette. And, you know, it's quite exciting to work with the artist and see her ideas developing as it happens.
Yeah, and this is part of what we were talking about before, that one of the reasons why we started the working relationship is because we knew there had to be other artists like us that are working in our basements or, you know, in our studios and have no idea there's other people like us that we can be starting a conversation with and get developing a community with, and then, you know, strengthening that so that we can have a place to show and people who will appreciate that. And so there's encouragement between the artists and, you know, to new artists to come out and share their work. There's encouragement to the larger audience, not just the people who are already familiar with art, to, realize that this is something that they can engage in and that they can contribute to, because without the audience, where, you know, the meaning is only whatever we give it, but with the meaning that an audience can bring, it makes it even much more, you know, meaningful, and therefore, so we want to encourage a larger audience to participate and engage, and people from outside to recognize that we're doing something, and people from here to be able to go out into the world having this strong base in Ithaca.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, my guests are Wilka Roig and Graham McDougall. They have started an art collective called The Working Relationship, which we're discussing today. Your collective also works as curators, which is sort of an interesting position, perhaps, for artists to be in. Is it hard to be objective for an artist judging a peer's work?
Well, the way that we make it more objective, because it may not be so easy sometimes, is to have outlined criteria beforehand, to have very clear our mission and our goals, so that we can stand by that and not necessarily our personal subjective.
Yeah. Well, what are some of the missions and goals in regard to the art that you want to have displayed?
Well, the last show that we made, it was called Stations, and it just came down from the CSMA and from Wells College. And there was a kind of overarching idea about connectivity and connecting these two educational institutions that mm-hmm. were separated physically, but also they were different educational planes. There are artists that are submitting work for that, or we're choosing artists that deal with those issues or themes in their work. And so that way, that becomes a criteria for us, and a way of organizing. And I think I like to think about it more as organizing and rather than curating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that the overarching criteria is that it's underrepresented contemporary artists who are working now and making new work. That is, for the most part, we're currently dealing with artists who are thinking about the context in which the work is shown, or who produce work either through these situations that are available to them, or that we make available to them, or that make work about the kind of places and spaces and circumstances that we are working in, mm-hmm. temporary spaces, or, you know, creating dialogues between audience and artist and art. So the work is a little bit didactic, I think, a lot of it anyway. And we consider what kind of conversations we can have, how it can be a little bit maybe intimidating, but really ultimately accessible, so that we can actually engage the audience. Because one of the things that we were feeling about the current art scene is that there's not enough conversation, but maybe people are not comfortable or not sure that they understand, when in fact they have a lot to offer and they just don't know it. So we're trying to offer that opportunity.
Yeah, and that the audience can be participants in the work. And for example, in Stations, we had a piece by Lizzie Hughes, who's an artist from London. And when the show was open during the hour, she was in her studio on instant messaging, waiting to have a conversation with whoever would come into the gallery. And so that way we can choose and work specifically that is going to engage an audience in the creation of the work itself.
I think a lot of people are intimidated by art. They say, I don't know anything about mm-hmm. art, but I like that painting by, mm-hmm. you know, Picasso or something. But I think we all do know a lot about art, because it's everywhere.
Absolutely.
Can be made into a feeling of art, I think.
Yeah. And some of the ways that we display the work, or the media that we use to, or that the artists are engaged in using, it's all media that we understand. It's either video or photography or.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the To Let program. Now, that was an interesting idea. Vacant storefronts on the commons, not being used. You got permission to let people put temporary displays in there. So did you call artists and say, I got a big, huge space, you need to fill it? How did you facilitate that?
Well, it happened. This is one of the things that happened a lot faster than we expected. We had thought that addressing the vacant storefronts on the commons was something that we would do in the future, maybe 5 years from last year. And after our first temporary space show, different people became more engaged in having conversations with us, and that led us to speaking with Vicky Taylor at the Downtown Ithaca Alliance, who was facing the real issue of, you know, of wanting to make the Commons a place that didn't, you know,
yeah, more friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or anyway, so then we said, oh well, we have this thing that we've already put together, and it just seemed to work really well. And so, but at the time, this was, I think, probably in February of this year, or maybe even March of this year, and they were so excited about it. And once the board said yes, this is great, they wanted it to happen for May. You know, as soon as you know, we start our busy season in town, and so we would have probably developed a system of accepting submissions and reviewing submissions and all of that, but given the time frame of wanting to get artists in there as soon as possible, we had to quickly think through, you know, our resources, our networks, and see who we knew that could address the context of the commons and the vacant storefronts, and also produce something that was going to work for that context, but also that they could do it in 1 or 2 months.
Yeah, that's an amazing time frame.
Yeah, so we did the best that we could, and we were able to get 7 artists in there for the inaugural event. And now we're trying to make sure that everybody knows that, you know, the Working Relationship website has all the information about putting proposals together for Tiled, and that we, of course, are encouraging people to familiarize themselves with the program, read the blog, and make proposals.
Mm-hmm. It's really an interesting idea. I was so excited to see those vacant storefronts mm-hmm. filled up, because the mm-hmm. Commons is one of those vibrant places that you don't want to see look like a ghost town in any form.
Exactly.
It was a great idea, really great idea. I want to talk specifically with you guys about public art. Do you think the criterion for public art is different than, say, the criterion for somebody who's going to go into a museum and pay to see art? Is there a difference in regard to how you approach it?
Well, obviously, it depends on who's running it.
And well, I'm thinking about public art for Ithaca. Does it need Ithaca to fit into the community? Does it need to speak to maybe what the community wants? Can people just offer up and say, this is what you're going to get? You know what I mean? Public art is so different. People are not paying. They're being assaulted, some would say.
Mm-hmm. Some would say, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would like to see the community be more involved and speak more about what they think and how they feel about it. We tried to get the inquiring photographer at the Ithaca Times to ask people about contemporary art and public art, and I think the responses are, they have an archive on the web for it. But we were curious to see what people would say so we can gather some information, and the Downtown Ithaca Alliance had several public art forums to invite the public to have conversations, and I still feel like we're not hearing enough about or maybe not from as many people as we would like to hear from. There's a public art commission for the city of Ithaca that,
yes, there is.
You know,
mm-hmm.
meets every Thursday of the month.
The public can come and join in.
And the public can join in, and they can speak to what's happening or what they would like to see happen. So in order to take that into consideration, we need to know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
I think it must be a little bit different because it is, like you said, something that people encounter. But we also feel, I mean, now speaking about myself and the working relationship, that public art should also challenge the public and stimulate them and hopefully have them think about the place that they're in and how that may contribute to their experience.
Yeah, and when I talked to Patty Phillips about a year ago, she was talking about public art is to provoke people, too. You know, it's not just meant to be some pretty decoration people walk by and don't even notice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
And the model for public art that we have right now seems to be from the Art in the Heart program that cites sculpture in locations on the commons. And that's only one option. There's so many other varieties of public art.
To tell us some that you'd like to see in the commons.
Perhaps maybe, I think that if you'd place something there for, in theory, it's only going to be there for, 6 months, maybe. And then the artist decides to donate it to the city, and it becomes a permanent fixture. Pretty soon, they're going to run out of real estate to site that kind of work. And the work that's maybe temporary could be a little bit more exciting. And it could be in different media. It could be projective media. It could be
an event.
An event.
It's a special event. mm-hmm. projected media come out at 9 at night when mm-hmm. it's dark, that kind of thing, yeah.
But or it could be a performative piece by artists. It doesn't have to be a sculpture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think a lot of art commissions are kind of wimpy about public art. I mean, they don't want to provoke. They don't want to get involved in politics. They don't want people complaining. So it's a little less daring, perhaps, than it could be. But I would think Ithaca could maybe rise to the occasion. You're on the commission.
Yeah.
Have there been discussions about?
Absolutely. I mean, the Public Art Commission has their own criteria that they have to stand by. And their job is to make recommendations to the city and review any proposals. But yeah, there's always a question of how appropriate is it for the site and how appropriate is it for the public. And, you know, there's all these specific criteria that the Public Art Commission needs to abide by. And that's where something like the working relationship, which is, you know, its own entity with its own mission, could potentially support something temporary that...
You can afford to be more daring. You don't have to let politics keep politics out.
Right.
Yeah. I was thinking the working relationship should write some commentaries for the papers to talk about public art and start a dialogue. You can start the dialogue. Maybe people will write letters.
Yeah, you know? we're trying to do that.
Yeah, because I am totally into promoting art. I think it's an important part of any culture and anything that you can do to facilitate it. You've got a lot of visibility now, so I think it would be great.
And that brings to mind a blog that has been organized for Ithaca's art scene. It's called theswitchboard.wordpress.com, I think. Mm-hmm. And that blog has been designated specifically to have conversations about art in Ithaca. And I think that was one attempt to start a conversation. Mm-hmm. And hopefully people will start visiting that blog, as well as the Tillett blog, which is another.
Yes. And, you know, we only have about a minute left. I want you guys to give contact. Okay. To how to get in touch with you, the working relationship, to let in anything, all the information.
All right. Well, the working relationship website is www.theworkingrelationship.com, and on there you can find under Connect the all the emails for submitting work, for just, you know, getting in touch with us. And then there's the Tillett Art blog, which is a blog that's been designed specifically to have conversations about the Tillett program and the installations that are in the storefronts. And the artists are also part of that, so the audience can speak directly to the artist, and the artist will reply, and there could be a conversation not just about the art, but with the artist about the art and,
that's great.
And all that. And that blog is tillettartprogram.blogspot.com.
And if you go to the working relationship, you can find all this information.
Yeah, there's links.
And I assume this isn't closed just to local Ithaca artists. Anybody in the Finger Lakes? I have a big, wide mm-hmm. listening audience.
Yes,
so.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
One of our missions, too, is to bring exciting new work to town so that we can see it and enjoy it, and hopefully bring artists to town, which we do. We organize little lectures and visits from time to time and performances for artists regionally and nationally to come to Ithaca and contribute, and then it stimulates our creative process, hopefully.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, Wilka Roig and Graham McDougall, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Tish.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible donation in support of the Out of Bounds radio show, please contact our fiscal sponsor, the Arts of the Southern Finger Lakes, at earts.org. That's earts.org. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. We'll be back next week. I'm Tish Perlman.